And welcome back to Foul Play, episode 38. That is Fantasy Overwatch League play. And the my name is Heebie-Jeebie, and I am joined here by veteran host A-Smith and a new host, Teppoyama. Please introduce yourself, Teppoyama.
What's up, guys? It's Teppo, Teo, Teppoyama, any kind of combination, whatever you're most comfortable with. I'll even allow Teppojama sometimes, depending on how I'm feeling. But yeah, I, you know, I'm just like another guy, like trying to make it, you know, and
fantasy podcast grind.
You know, right. I'm just on the grind, you know. No, but I my background in terms of fantasy sports comes from basketball and football, where I do I did a bunch of like basketball fantasy content, and I'm nasty at fantasy football, even though I don't do content there. Got to keep those secrets to myself. But yeah, I do some fantasy Overwatch stuff. I write for Winston's Lab here and there. And right now I'm writing for Bleacher Report, doing like weekly recaps over for the league. Cool. Yeah, I also work with the Overguard doing some content there and marketing. So yeah, I'm around.
Yeah.
So you're a fellow meat sport crossover.
Oh yeah. You know, I came from the meat and then I went plant based, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes.
Is that what we're calling e-sport? I think it's like the energy drink alternative to hamburgers, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel that.
The Red Bull version. Not healthy in any way. So we had a pretty exciting week of Overwatch last week. Some literal Titans fell. Had some other teams coming on a really fun upswing. And when the parody puzzle flourishes, the fantasy points afloweth. And so we will be talking about all varieties of that. But to get us started, our first category is the leaders. We're talking about who scored extremely well last week. A-Smith, why don't you start on that support category?
All right, let's take it first to one of our favorite, everybody's favorite English support. That is the boombox. And by English, I mean from England, not just speaks the English. So boombox put up 188.07. That is a first for supports in best. He only played one map or one game, and that's all he needed. He, you know, he played more than one map, but, you know, only played one game. That's all he needed to get those points. He racked it up. Boombox has been a very solid player, but he's never really in the leaders that often. He's always like probably high end support two, low end support one. And it's good to see him step up and get a good week here. The second one is the much better Boston support. That is Aim God. 159.5. That's third in support best. And he only played one game as well because for some reason they played Persia. And they finally realized, hey, Persia's not doing it for us. And Boston played Aim God, and they did much, much, much better, and they didn't get stomped. So that's what we really like to see. And I mean, I don't really like to see it. I mean, I would be okay if Boston gets stomped, but you know, Robert Kraft and the slime. Anyways, moving on. Aim God, hopefully, he's here to stay. Just for competitiveness in the league, I'd like to see it. So
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Teo, you want to do the tanks?
Yeah, I'm happy to do the tanks, especially because my boy Fury popped off. So Fury, just, you know, we can call him a tank because that's his role. But last week he played everything. You know, his Pharah was nasty. His Hanzo was nasty. He was just overall a monster. He scored 172 in best, which was number one amongst tanks. 309 in combined, which was number two. And yeah, he was really just a maniac. Like, he just, I don't remember the last time a flex tank popped off like that. And I just, like, just watching it, that he really passed the eye test. And then, the other kind of tank leader was a guy who's been really on the come up the past few weeks, despite his team's struggles. And that's, or inconsistencies, I guess, instead of struggles. And that's Finzi of the Eternal, who put up 152, which was second and best, and already like between 172 for Fury and 152 to for Finzi, it's obvious that that's that Fury really popped off. Yeah, so Finzi had 152, second in best, and 226 in combined, which was fourth. And just another great performance from the guy. And it's good to see he's kind of like elevated himself into the top tier of tanks right now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm a little sad about it because my first sleeper I ever picked was Finzi. Then he didn't do well at all the next week. So I really wish I would have picked him last time. But moving on into the next category, we will talk about the DPS leaders this week. Number one overall for best game, scoring 187.35 points, is Color Hex. Duke can play anything, projectile, hit scan, well, at least anything in his hero pool, which is like five characters, but they span projectile and DPS and tank, I guess, if you include Zarya. Dude's really, really good at Pharah, especially at like one of Pharah's best way to score fantasy points is landing ultimates and doing so really well. It doesn't really matter if you die in this fantasy format. And he's one of the best at landing pretty high value Pharah ultimates. So that's going to net you a lot of fantasy points. The other DPS leader we had is Godsby. Got 164.97, so that's fourth place in the DPS category, but scored 315.56, which is first in overall, that is over all categories as well, not just the offense stat. Godsby was playing an unbelievably good game. Games of his life, if I would say, for these last week. And honestly, Spark is in their like peak of any time they've been playing, but Godsby was playing incredible. Tapo, you were telling me about how he was landing a grav inside of a Winston bubble that was already placed down to block trance healing. That is not Gushue doing that. I would say that is Godsby.
That just that's nasty. Just IQ, like in the moment to just try and block healing away. And that's then he also had that moment hit a Zarya secondary fire onto a flying fire. And yeah, you don't usually think of the projectile Zarya as being the Pharah counter, but he pulled it off. Like, his Zarya is so sick right now.
That's true. I mean, Carrie Underwood told Jesus to take the wheel, but right now Hong Zhao's telling Godsby to take the wheel because that guy is unbelievable.
No.
Gotcha, yeah. That's the reference we need.
That might be worse than all of my dad jokes combined.
Oh man. Beautiful. If telling dad jokes was like the prereq for children, I would own an orphanage. It is on to the feeders category. Acemith, please start our feeders category.
Anything to stop you from going off this cliff that you were going. I don't know where we're going, but wow. Yeah. I'm going to take the supports here. Kariv, 109.27. That was his best. And look, they're like, we can say he one map didn't count because technically it didn't. However, it's a best. So in that we're going there, I mean, you can't say that's the problem because the other one, I mean, they're both 3-1s, and the other one counts just the same, so you're looking probably close to the same score here. It really has to do a lot with him being Ana, the way he plays Ana. We were talking about it a little bit earlier before, but his Ana play is more towards sleep darting and just, you know, taking people out of position instead of just straight damage and heals. And the way he's playing is helpful for his team. It's not helpful for our fantasy stats. No. He is no Izzyaki here.
Sleep dart points win.
Yeah, right. It's a sad thing, but hey, one day we will get there. The other support is the support I alluded to in the feeders or in the leaders, and this man is Persia. 55.49. Yeah, he's averaging. They played four maps. So that was an average of 13, just over 13, almost 14 points per map. That was rough. Super, super rough. So I'm looking here and saying, you know what, Persia, just hit the bench. Don't ever come back again. You know what? We would trade you, but you're not worth it. We're probably gonna trade Aim God. you might play then, and who knows, you know? I mean, it's Boston. Their piggy bank's bigger than their wallet. They like to save. That's what they do. They sell people and then stash it all in the bank and don't ever use it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just don't use it.
No, yeah. It's brutal. That performance for Persia, just for that support duo in general, like looking at it and combined, Persia and Alamau put up 95 points, which would have been less than Kareev did in his best game. So like two supports combined scored less than a feeder. That's insane.
Yeah, map one, Persia didn't have a kill. Mm-hmm. not a kill. Didn't have an elim. No elimination. He didn't even assist in a kill. Like, that's how bad it was.
Man.
So it just is rough.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, quite rough. But even though they were so bad, they got more points collectively than all of Toronto Defiant. No, that's not quite true, but it's way closer
not
than
quite.
You'd think.
Yeah,
very close.
Toronto rip.
All right.
So, Teoyama, why don't you take the tank feeders for us?
All right, yeah, will do. The first tank feeder is somewhat surprising because he's kind of built up a reputation as being one of the best main tanks in the game, and then it's not so surprising that he's a feeder because he is a main tank, and that's a super of the San Francisco Shock. It's kind of looking like, at this point, you know, if the Shock are sweeping people, or in general, if there's sweeps going to be happening, like, you don't want players on that team, especially not their main tanks. And Super put up 83 points in best and 137 in combined, which just doesn't come out to be super hot. Oh my god.
Oh, you got there again.
It kills me. I can't help it. I like the word super, and I just need him to change his name so I don't change the way I speak. You know, that would be the ideal.
You know what? You're allowed to
we'll get there. Yeah. I'll shoot him a DM real quick.
Yeah.
You're allowed to make that joke.
And then
the second
tank feeder is pretty disappointing because he is a flex tank and he's been great kind of all stage, and that's a Void of the LA Gladiators. And kind of it goes hand in hand with the Gladiators' disappointing week, where so Void only put up 88 points, and they played the Dragons, and you would have thought that that would be a much more competitive match, but they lost 3-1, and the Dragons kind of just had their way with them, and Void's play obviously suffered because of it. And it's kind of the Gladiators are in a weird spot right now, and it's hard to tell what's going to happen with them, like when we're going to see that improvement. And now it seems like the LA Valiant have taken all of that kind of Los Angelino energy, and the Gladiators are suffering right now, and Void obviously is not performing to the level we've come to expect.
Mm-hmm. Los Angelino energy. that is a nice terminology there.
Yeah, that could be their third team.
Los Angeles, Los Angeles.
All right, Hebe, why don't you take those DPS?
Great, I'd love to. Hey, guess what? Toronto sucked this week. So top of our feeder category.
So here we'll go. You got to say basically the Toronto Fight. I mean that literally is the entire team there, right there. Boom.
Hey, I'm
the
back.
You are there.
Oh, he's back. Here we go.
I was talking about how bad the Toronto Defiant were.
Oh, good. I came in at the right time. They suck.
In that, they were terrible.
Yeah.
Man, dude, it's unreal. I'm 37, got 59.53 points. He was one of their higher point scorers. That's crazy. Toronto fed their brains out this week. In a alternate universe, I probably said that they prayed to God's crazy diva tweet asking to help them win, and it did not work. In fact, it was a cruel twist of fate, and they lost terribly to the Charge. This isn't like exactly a competitive analysis kind of podcast. We're more just going to be talking about fantasy, but holy smokes, I would be terrified if I was a Toronto fan, and I don't see things turn around quickly. So our second DPS feeder we have, this is probably the closest we've ever come to like only having one feeder, because Happy slipped in here, got 120.73 points, not his best week by far. Like, this is easily one of his slowest weeks, but that's because he wasn't playing as much Zarya. When you 4-0 stomp a team, there's not as many HP pools to kill throughout to gain those damage stats. And Widowmaker sure takes all the fun away out of fantasy points when those eliminations are happening that fast. And everyone's playing tanks, so they come back super slow. So I am happy, flexed, had himself a great week, but how dare he do that to us fantasy owners? I will be the first one to riot, and I think that he should have switched to a character that could pad his stats, but he did not do so, and I'm very disappointed.
Play 76, you fool.
Yeah, play 76.
And then, once again, we can just blame the Defiant for it because they got stomped 2-12 on map points, and they only scored a map point on one map, and that was Paris. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to get any fantasy points against a team that's, you know, just kind of bowing out so disgracefully.
Yeah. So would you say Happy's performance did not make you happy?
Oh.
And I can't talk about all of
okay, you know what?
Throwing it in there.
Cut me off. You can take it off. Take it out of here.
Okay. All right, well, let's jump out of the leaders and feeders category and just go to the matches we have upcoming this week. So, if you're looking for who you're starting on your roster, especially if you were playing in those combined leagues and you need those teams that play twice, those are as follows. You have the Houston Outlaws, the San Francisco Shock, the Los Angeles Valiant, the Los Angeles Gladiators, Toronto Defiant, London Spitfire, Chengdu Hunters, Seoul Dynasty, and the Hangzhou Spark. Pretty good lineup for teams playing twice. We got some good games coming. But the teams that only play once, if you are just playing that best game and you're not too worried about it, we have the Philadelphia Fusion, Washington Justice, Dallas Fuel, Boston Uprising, Vancouver Titans, Paris Eternal, Shanghai Dragons, New York Excelsior, Guangzhou Charge, and the Florida Mayhem. And the Atlanta Reign are signing autographs in Atlanta as we speak and are not playing this upcoming week.
Yeah. That sounds beautiful. Right.
Okay,
that
great.
Was,
yeah,
that was the great riff there.
Man, what a great bit.
Nailed that.
You have taken Deathblow's spot. He is never coming back.
That's true. He has abandoned us to not. Anyway, for the potential five maps this upcoming week, those good fantasy points, those high cashing in fantasy games. I want Asmith to talk about one of his picks first.
Just one. I will take it. I'll take London versus San Francisco, the juiciest one here. This is the high end Overwatch here. This is like the top tier teams. I would say San Francisco's really in the top three, and then London's probably that four that could break into that group of top three.
That's like the hottest take I've heard you have. But anyway,
I don't
continue.
Know, man. I really think London's there.
All right.
I think they could be.
Okay.
When they're firing on all cylinders, they are a championship level team.
Yeah,
agreed. Proven by there. The one championship we've had.
It didn't change anything, and they took New York. They gave New York everything they could.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's very valid. This is that juicy match. This is the match that has potential. San Francisco has shown some cracks in their armor. Losing to Houston was kind of. Well, okay, we're not even gonna say kind of. It was just embarrassing, and then they go and London, like I said, is playing better. They're playing, gave everything they got to New York. You could very much see this game doing the same, going that five maps, and that's kind of what I'm hoping. I mean, you could see a 3-1 with San Francisco. There's a world where that happens. There's a world where London beats San Francisco 3-1. It's not a world I live in, but it's a world. So anyways, that's kind of my hot take for pick there. It's really not even that hot of a take. But
the cool thing is, if you own London players as well, last week kind of proved that Guard won't be coming in over Bird Ring or something.
Yep.
So you can be fairly confident with the London like starting six roster. Quartermain and Nuss are the only like really questionable ones, but I mean you probably don't want to be playing a main support. So anyway. Teoyama, please take the map that you have decided to add with additional stats I've heard a rumor about, so I'm very excited. Yeah,
so mine is kind of the a bolder pick. It's not the super obvious five mapper, just because both of these teams are kind of hard to gauge right now, and that's the Guangzhou Charge against the Shanghai Dragon. I think if you ask anybody about this game, like, they'll either think it's a 3-1 for the Charge or a 3-1 for the Dragons, likely on the Dragon side since the Dragons have had such a good stage. But I just think right now both of these teams are playing really well. Obviously, this past week was huge for the Charge, and the Dragons had a great win over the Gladiators. So this past week we saw the Charge beat the Defiant. They just stomped them. And, 12-2 on map points is ridiculous. And the Dragons just pretty much stomped the Gladiators. But this week, the Dragons lost 1-3 against the Valiant. And 2 weeks ago, the Charge lost 1-3 against the Valiant. And if you look at the map points there, you know, the Valiant are obviously a great team. Like, they're really on the come up. So against the Dragons on map points, the Valiant won 11-9, and against the Charge on map points, the Valiant won 11-8. So they're obviously, when they've played the same team, they've performed very similarly, and I think we can expect this game to go the distance just because both of them are such wild cards, you know. So I think they match up pretty well. You know, I like both of their flex supports. I like the fact that both of them can mess with the meta a little bit. You know, Happy can go onto the Widowmaker. Shanghai can just decide not to play a flex tank for a bit, you know, or play one of their three flex tanks if they decide to.
Right.
I think this is just like a sneaky fun pick for a five mapper, and I think it'll be a really good game of Overwatch to watch.
Yeah, that's true. It'll be an exciting game. I don't think I have as much faith as it being a really high point getting map for it. My question about that is, who does Charge play for their DPS? Does Eileen not come out, or does Nero keep playing the 2CP like he has?
I think they keep going with that kind of weird setup where, you know, Happy is the mainstay because
he's
a beast. And then I like the way they swap around Nero here and there, because, like, if he comes in just to play Junkrat a bit, like on Paris against the Defiant, like, he came out like he had an easy 3K tire. Like, he's been a really fun kind of DPS sub, and he's been very successful when he subbed in, even though, you know, in his debut, he said he was super nervous and stuff. But yeah, I think they keep flexing around that second DPS. While, you know, and the Dragons are sort of similar, where they have DM who feels like the DPS mainstay, and then Ding can sub out here and there, but he's going to play most of the time. His Pharah is just bonkers, and his Sombra obviously is too. So yeah, I think they're both kind of in a fun kind of similar spot.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, friggin' Junkrat looking like a pretty solid counter to Sombra is like a pretty exciting place to be in the meta, seeing as how much Sombra we've seen. So, Aesmith, you said you had two potential map fives, so why don't you take the second one so I don't steal the one you want?
Okay, I'm gonna go here with Philly versus Boston. I really like that it happened before this stage already, and so when you look at it, you're like, hey, how did they do the last time they played? Okay, well, they played this stage and it was a 2-1. So that very well could have easily have gone to five maps there. The same map differential as a five mapper. However, you don't get that juicy fifth map, and that's what we're looking for. And and as long as Boston plays Aim God, I like it. I think we are going to five there. If they play Persia, well, then may, you know what, if they play Persia, I just want Philly to 4-0 them, just to prove a point.
Yeah, say they'll drop into the next category that we're gonna move on to
after. Yeah, exactly. If they play Persia, this is all depending on Boston playing Aim God. Granted, they play Aim God and they still went 2-1, or they played Persia and still went 2-1 against Philly, so you never know.
Cool. All right, I am going to take our fourth option for potential five mapper, and that is Valiant versus the Spark. This is easily match of the week for me. I'm so excited. Okay. Two teams that are like skyrocketing in terms of power rankings. Like this is, it's so exciting to watch these teams. I mean, Gosby having performance of his life last week. Kareev doing the exact same thing, I would say. Those sleep darts were just out of this world. Very exciting game to watch. Fact versus Gushue will be sweet. I love the storylines of like main tank versus main tank in this season. I think it's just like been so clearly shown in this meta of like who is the superior main tank. As before, it was just like, all right, which Winston doesn't die when he dives. So this has been like really fun to watch. So I'm excited for that match. And both of these teams are like completely capable of playing that Sombra like level of play, but have pretty decent off tanks to come in if they want to just go back to traditional 3-3. So I think this will be like a real test of what these teams are going to rely on more. Is one of these teams way more of a Sombra team, or are they like, no, our 3-3 is pretty good and we can beat anyone at it? So it's very much a two like just up and comers of stage three button heads. I'm very excited.
Yep. Ace Smith, it's a sick matchup.
Yeah, it'll be good. Ace Smith, never mind. Teoyama, do you want to do you want to just run through all three of our potential oofs real quick and just go over the matches we think will score
if Ace Smith wins. Will allow me, you know,
right,
then I'm happy to do it.
Fine, you know what? It's to be fair, it's very obvious.
All right.
Yeah. Just go ahead and take it.
All right, here we go. Number one, NYXL versus Dallas. Dallas looks really bad right now. NYXL looks really good right now. Dallas bad, NYXL good. Pretty
you
obvious.
Do the math. Yeah.
There we go. Number two, San Francisco versus Chengdu. Chengdu fun, San Francisco good. Feels fairly obvious. Number three, Florida versus Hangzhou. Florida is 1-0 in their past one game, but it's still
that hot. Watch
but
out.
It's still
100% in
Florida.
Their last week.
Zephyr may have outscored a bunch of other players last week, but I don't know if he has any scrim bucks left to cash.
Dude,
so
that Bastion
pretty
pick
obvious.
In Gibraltar. That was
amazing.
I have a serious question. Why wasn't Zephyr in the leaders? The only time we'll ever
he
get
should have been.
Leaders, he should have been just because
he still only had 92 points. So it wasn't that great.
I think we all still don't trust him. We saw it in front of our eyes and we're all like, nah, it can't be real.
That's not really happening.
Yeah, but Florida did come out with a 5 DPS comp when they got rolled in their first match last week, and that's kind of like the bright spot of my life. So
okay, well,
you know,
glad
I'm gonna try to send them some G, but I still think it's a major oof.
Okay, fair.
I'll allow it.
Let's do our last category of this evening. Thank you for spending it with us, by the way. Sleepers of the week. These are our picks that we think could net you some real good fantasy points this week that maybe is on the waiver wire, maybe you just have them on your roster that you're not playing.
They're
I think
probably on the waiver wire
option. Yeah, we've put some pretty like coma level sleepers, not the actual player coma, he's fine, but
he is
a sleeper. Don't pick coma. I without a doubt picked a worse pick than coma this week.
You did.
All right,
you did.
But A-Smith, it is your turn for supports because Kyo scored more than Boink. Go figure, a flux support scored more than a main support. Wow.
All right, to be fair, I think we're done. I think we need to like cancel picking Kyo every time. We pick him I pick him almost every other week, and it's partially because I'm just in love with Chinese.
Namaste.
That's not Chinese. anyways, my sister's Chinese. That's why I'm in love with him, just in case you didn't know.
Cool.
All right, it's very Game of Thronesy, but I got you.
Okay, yeah, I guess we'll allow it.
Anyways, all right, so Quartermain is my pick here. This is Boomer Bust, because he's either playing or he's not, and they looked better when he was.
So I venture to say, here's to hoping Ness wasn't just like sick this week, but I liked watching Quartermain play with London this week, and with their potential matches with Valiant and San Francisco. Even if he doesn't play one of the matches, if he plays a full one of the other one, I still think he's got high potential to on best to actually do pretty decent, especially compared when you're compared to the scrubs that they picked. True. So, and he's definitely on the waiver wire. I can almost 100% guarantee you he's like on 100% of the waiver wire.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Who's got that around? Yeah. Okay. My sleeper of the week is going to be Aid. From that fabled Toronto Defiant team.
Oh my god.
I got AIDS from that.
Yeah. Man. Can you imagine if they all just used their real names? Then we wouldn't have to make any of these terrible jokes.
would we actually be able to pronounce them is the real question.
I don't know.
Yeah, it might be tough.
There's some tough players to pronounce in meat sports, but they do it just fine.
Meat sports.
All right. Aid, he's on the comeback. Toronto Defiant, they're fully rubber banding it. Last week was them shaking off the rust. This is top tier Toronto Defiant. I'm talking, this is Grand Finals Toronto Defiant. There are. Aid is going to pop off. Just watch. Just going to flex on a Widowmaker.
I feel that. I'm into it.
Okay, good.
He's going to be the fury of main support. Yeah. He's just going to flex onto every role.
Yes, please. He's going to play Reaper.
All right.
Reaper, please.
Whew, that'd be beautiful.
My first sleeper ever,
and I'm going weird with it because I wanted to try and sneak in a flex support, right? And it's Haile of the Seoul Dynasty. Ryo Jaehong may be one of the best flex supports in the league, but the Seoul Dynasty are a weird team and they play two rosters. Yeah. So my hope, and if it works out, he's gonna kill your guys. It's gonna be great. He's gonna have way more points if they play Ryu Jaehong for one game. So they play the Eternal and the Hunters,
okay,
who are both inconsistent weird teams. So each of those games I think has some map 5 potential,
or just B team potential. So I see what you mean
here. Yeah, you know, so like it's very possible two games in play that they do Ryu Jaehong for one game and Haile for another game. And if he gets an entire game to himself, he's going to be just a sneaky kind of waiver kind of guy and a major sleeper. Because he's shown when he plays, he's passed the eye test for sure. And so if it's just a matter of playing time for him.
Hey, sure. Ryu J Sexy needs to rest those wrists, you know?
Yeah.
You know, ice the
100%.
Take some miles off.
Those lights are bad for his hair, you know, so it's good for him to take some time and like sit in the back room, you know, to let Haile take some of that those bright lights.
You got to. All right. Well, thanks. Since I won, I picked Gamsu while Heebie-Jeebie over here picked Fact Fiction.
Missing a map.
Does it really matter?
I like to believe so, yeah.
And it's best format, so it's like, Anyways.
Up for debate. Right.
Sure. I mean, okay. All right, so I'm going to take a good main tank here. I'm taking Fusions from Boston. They're playing Philly this week. I like that matchup. When Fusions plays well, he actually gets a decent amount of fantasy points. I actually think he did pretty well this week, fantasy-wise. So he did go to map 5. So if they can push that Philly game to a 5 mapper, I like Fusion's chances to score top among main tanks and beat some of the lower end flex tanks. So
all right.
Fusions for the win.
Okay.
I dig it.
All right, Teppo.
All right, so mine, continuing the trend of trying to get a flex of main, the Elsa of the Chengdu Hunt. I think, you know, the frozen maestro inspired by the hit film, the hit cinematic masterpiece. I think Elsa is an underrated flex tank, and I think the Hunters, they're playing the Shock and the Dynasty, and I don't think it's going to work out against the Shock, but I do think the game against the Dynasty has a potential to go five maps, in which case Elsa could be a great scorer, especially since he seems to be getting the majority of the playing time consistently.
Yeah.
Fair. Fair. Notably, Elsa scored less points than Rio this week.
Notably.
that's fair. Yep, I'll take that. That's pretty notable. But yeah, so I'm banking on the people sleeping on him because of that stat right there.
That's fair. I mean, Elsa's probably in the waiver wire.
Yeah.
I'd venture to say he's there.
I'm pretty sure him and Sansom are the only flex tanks on fire.
Sansom.
All right. Okay. Let me tell you about my sleeper pick of the week for the tank category. It will be Ahmeng. And to do so, let me paint a little picture for you, a story. Ahmeng. He's sitting in his room at probably his team house, opening up his phone and watching the Overwatch League stream. And all of a sudden, he sees these main tanks picking this round ball-shaped character. The audacity for these other players to think that they can even come close to the pure dominance that he has upon this hero. Ahmeng is coming to prove that he is on top and that no one else can play a small hamster with a very large ball better than he can. Ahmeng is going to score you mad points this week. And if you don't pick Ahmeng up, then you're a communist. So DPS categories.
That was it.
Okay. All right. Yep. Teo, you are giving it, you are picking the first one for the DPS category.
There we go. Yeah. Cause I could not have won or lost. I like it. I'm going to go with Blaze. I was kind of torn on it because it's true that he had a great performance last week, thanks to playing five maps. But I think generally the Uprising are all kind of sleepers despite last week. And I think Blaze just really showed, I mean, well, first off, like mechanically he had a great week, you know, he really shined on everything he played, but then, from like a leadership standpoint, like I didn't know this guy was so like calm and collected when he had the post game interview and he was talking about, you know, how he just told everybody to remain calm and like, you know, just stick to their guns and et cetera. I was like, okay, this guy's got, he's got a little bit of mojo to him, you know, and this week they're going to play the Fusion. They only play one game, which makes me nervous, but I'm going to bank on that one game against the Fusion being a competitive one. And I think he'll put up a ton of points.
Yeah, that's a good pick. The only concern I have about Blaze, sorry, last tangent, I promise. But the only concern I have for him is that, I mean, they showcased like his actual shot calling, like on the broadcast team, like they were showing him literally saying it like, man, if I'm Fusion, I'm clicking on Blaze's head first. Like I am eliminating the calm one and letting the actual rage monster Fusions be the one doing the calls after that.
Alternatively, like if you kill him, that gives him about, what's the respawn time, like 6 to 8 seconds, something like that. You give him time to just focus on comms, you know.
Yeah,
so that's maybe that's a bad call. Maybe it's better to like keep him alive so that he has to focus on aiming instead of just giving out great comms.
Yeah, Doomfist aiming. Oh my god.
I'm gonna message that to Fusion to let them know, like, hey, keep him alive so it's difficult to make his comms.
We've got Haze on speed dial.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we got all these kinds of connections. Okay.
Welcome to the High Noon Podcast Network, guys.
Yeah, the real, you know, the special something, the secret sauce of Overwatch podcasts. Yeah. Okay. For my DPS pick of Sleeper of the Week, I am picking Sherfor. I promise you it's not because he is my Canadian brethren. Yeah, I'm 100% biased 100% of the time, so I'm picking Sherfor. I think there's a good chance that Gladiators switch to a Sombra meta. Maybe 50-50. You know what? I think Sherfor is going to score a lot of points, and I don't have any good reasons for it. Asmith, would you like to say your DPS category?
Sure, I will take the better Boston DPS. That is Color Hex.
How on earth does this count as a sleeper?
The Kiwi scores points, and you agreed to it. That's the way it is.
He scores good points every single week.
Boston.
So
Does he score every single week? To be fair, he's like part of Boston, and I still sleep on Keller Hicks. I'm like, I don't know.
All right. Fine.
Why? Like when we're thinking, why start him? Because he scores points in lots of them. Look, he was number one this week, and it's no coincidence. The Kiwi man, he's gonna lead Team New Zealand to World Cup glory one day. Maybe 50 years from now, but it will happen.
Grandfather
70-year-old Color Hex.
Yeah.
Click the heads.
I've been playing Overwatch 6 since I was 54.
That'll be enough time for Trill to get the next experience buff.
Oh, no.
Nice. Yep, poor Trill.
Trill. Ripperino. So, That's gonna do it. I'm gonna kick all of your tails, every single one. It's in the bag for me, guys. I don't know why you let me pick these things.
Okay, you know, I kind of agree with you, but only because Teo and I threw on the support category. Okay,
no, I'm Hyli's gonna get a full game, and Hyli's
all
gonna
three
pop
through
off.
Quartermain, come on, man, that's super risky. Man,
yeah.
Do you think people actually like listen to this podcast for advice? Because
that's
we
exactly
are
why they
coming
listen
in short on this topic.
Okay, right, on sleepers, you guys are definitely on your waiver. Almost certain.
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe not the DPS. Sure4 might be still on the waiver wire.
Yeah.
But you have absolutely zero reason to pick him.
I own
Color
Hex in like a lot of categories, in a lot of leagues, actually.
It's true. You were the one not sleeping on him.
It's true. Big brain.
So, big brain, man. All right. Well, that was all we got this week. It's been absolutely amazing. Teppo, Yama, Teo, everything else we want to call you, El Diablo. look, man, it's been awesome. I think it's safe to say, Hebe, we may have our third co-host here.
Yeah, if I had like a bottle, God, I'd pop it. Welcome.
We have
crew
champagne here.
Yeah.
So look, I hope to expect to see Teppo on several more podcasts here. It's gonna be fun.
I dig it.
Yep. So
fans, make sure that so we know you loved us. So make sure you tweet at both Deathblow and the Blevins. Tell them how much the show sucked when it was just them, and bring the praise for the new blood. Tell us how good we were. Make sure you tweet at us. My Twitter is at Josh DeGeek. A Smith, I'm pretty sure yours is at A Smith OW.
It's underscore OW.
Underscore OW.
Underscore OW.
Okay, and Teo, do you have Twitter that you want to plug?
Yeah, it's at Teppoyama, spelled Teppo, TEPOJAMA.
Awesome, cool. And then
Teppo Jammas.
Yeah.
Teppo Jammas, yep. Nighttime ready.
There we go. All right, awesome. So thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a homestand episode. So a bit of a... No. It won't be. It'll be covering this week, but we'll prep you for the homestead
weekend.
Talk about that entails. So buckle up and enjoy this league when the Valiant and Mayhem are good? Question mark.
Mm-hmm.
All right. See you guys next week. Bye-bye.